Three, two, one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, make sure you talk a little bit close to it so that we all hear you. You're a giant man, but we don't want them to think you have just a little voice.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't present itself in the morning.
First of all, how tall are you?
6'8".
6'8". If I was 6'8", I'd be like, come here! I would be demanding everything, I guess. I think this... That would probably be something you'd have to get used to, just being that big. I guess you'd come used to it.
I think something about it allows you to just be calmer. You know, it's...
A gentle giant?
Yeah.
Gentle giant?
I think so. I can't let my size run my life. I just kind of try to just feel normal, even though I don't appear normal.
Well, and you actually, you're 6'8". I mean, that's not the tallest person, obviously, in the world. But, you looked like a normally proportioned person. I only realize how big you are when I stand next to you. But when I was watching you come back across the parking lot, you know, sometimes you see guys that are real tall and they're just like a beanpole.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty much all proportioned.
Yeah, they stand out.
Introduce yourself, because nobody knows who you are.
John Brake. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and I go by the name The Mad Splatter for my artist name.
Which is pretty cool, The Mad Splatter. Do you have themadsplatter.com?
No, but that would be a good site.
Have you looked into it?
No, but at the same time, it also kind of sounds like a porn site, so I thought about that.
Well, I didn't think about that, John. I
apologize for the crudeness.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not sure how many people even listen to our podcast, if any at all, but... You know, you got to keep trying.
Sure.
Hey, if Mad Splatter would be a great porn site, I think I would still get www.madsplatter.com.
Yeah.
Somebody would probably get it now if it hasn't been taken. So what's going on? I asked you to come on because you and I are friends, because we also, we trade some art. Or I purchased some of your art, but you've also put some in the salon.
Yes.
And then you took one of my photos that I took from the bridge. And
which are all great. Yeah,
yeah, they're all good. I mean,
I love your photos, and yeah, it's fun to see what you put up next.
Well, it's funny. All of my prints, like the one that you just brought back, which is a picture from the Junction Breakwater Bridge, overlooking the marsh with the sunrise and the clouds and stuff. I was good friends with Jay Diaz, who owns Coast to Coast Printing,
mm-hmm.
and him and I had a falling out. And I was, and it was my fault. I was being, I tend to run it in a manner like, I'll be driving. I'll be like, hey, let me go see what Jay's doing. And I just drop in. I'm like, go past the front counter, right to his office. It's a little arrogant. And what seems like normal for me can be a little abrupt or annoying to other people. And we had a little falling out because of that and some other things. I pleaded and begged for his forgiveness. Please, Jay, forgive me. And
I don't see anything wrong with that type of interaction. I mean, I like when friends are off the cuff and spontaneous and lively, really. I mean, it's I think an important part of life. But
well, when we had a struggle, I had to take a hard look at everything because I was like, Jay, I'm really sorry. And he wouldn't reply to me. So I'm like, well, what the hell did I even do? And I had to take a hard look at, and I agree. I like that too. And I'm not sure that was really the big issue. You know, if I was going to make an amends, I had to add that as part of my amends, because that is something I do. Jay usually didn't have an issue with that. What we actually had a big issue was that I started another business, and I started it with somebody that he can't stand, and I now currently cannot stand either. But
okay.
I brought that person into his life, and he was like, I didn't want that person in my life. And this person was creating a lot of drama in his life, just walking in through the front door of his business. And he was just like, I can't be a part of you or this and goodbye. And after it's all said and done, I get it, and he was right, and I had to make an amends. But having said all that, Jay was my man. Jay's my guy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we made an amends. He finally texts me, how the fuck do I get a haircut around here? And, I pleaded my case and asked for his forgiveness, and he did. And
yeah,
I'm making a little more of it than it really was. But it was, I try not to live my life where I have these open wounds, you know, festering. I either, you know, let's fix it, let's get it fixed, let me do what I have to do to clean this up, and let's move on. So we finally made up, and thank God, because it was bugging me. And but he's my printing guy, and during our whole year of fighting, I couldn't, you know, he makes my cards, he does my printing, mm-hmm. So I had nothing, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna just go somewhere else. So I just was kind of in a hold right now for printing, but we made up. So luckily, maybe I can start getting some prints made again, because yeah. I like, you know, and you
well,
share
tell
her
them,
art.
I'm interested in getting prints of my work. So
yeah,
that's one of the next big steps.
Well, he's great. They have a print to print, coast to coast, coast to coast printing. JD is. Amazing business. Him and his wife, Mel, they're great. And Shay and all the people that work there are terrific. And he will take care of you for sure because
cool. He's
a good guy. And they're close. They're right down the street. But, you know, it's like all art. You hang it up, and after a while, you're like, I'm tired of looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. And it's nice to have artists, friends that can supply you with something new. And I think that's important in just my experience as an artist. Is to do something new. I'm constantly trying to push myself to, you know, reach different heights, really, and to have people say, you know, like let's try something new, because I know we've talked about that.
Yeah.
And
well, I told you kind of what I wanted. You did make me. How big was that painting?
4 feet by 5 feet.
Four by five.
Yeah.
That's hanging up in the salon. That's just a splatter painting, which I love. People are like, what is that? I go, it's my painting. I bought it. Shut up. You know, I love it. You know, and I what one thing I like about those splatter paintings is that you remember how I don't remember. Well, you can just look into the painting and you make out what you want to see in that painting.
Sure.
And that, I think that's one of the funnest things about. Remember, did you ever go to the dentist and you had those highlight magazines in the back and you used to find the pictures, mm-hmm. and sometimes you get there and no one had found them yet and you'd mm-hmm. be like, all right, that's kind of. A little bit different, but kind of what it reminds me of. You know, I just search around and I find in there what I find.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like? Is that why you like painting them like that? Or
yeah, the main reason why I started doing that is I've always been involved with art in some fashion, especially as a kid. I did it a lot, and
I'm going to take your picture. Keep on talking. I'm going to take your picture because I always forget. So just keep on talking, but I'm going to take it right now while you're chatting.
Okay, yeah. So in high school and as a kid, I used to draw a lot, and I'm like hyper perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
If a line doesn't look exactly the way I like it, I'll like my blood pressure will go up, you know, and
crumple up the paper, throw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it got to the point where this is just, I'm not enjoying this. This is almost uncomfortable. So I stopped for a long time, and you know, one day I was just like, I need to do something. I need to. It's almost like there was a bubble that was ready to burst. I just need to let out that pressure. And I've always liked Pollock, and. Jackson Pollock and I said, you know, let me just try that one day, and that was about 8 years ago. And from the first painting, I was hooked. I liked it, and so just I've developed over the years. Started out with most of my intention was to just instead of having canvases, use a piece of wood. So it got to the point where I was like, all right, well, if I do want to ship these to anybody, they're way too heavy, and the cost on that is just like enormous. So I got into canvas, and actually I'm glad I did.
There's got to be a process. It's got to, I mean, you just to me it doesn't look like you could just start a painting like that and then be complete with the painting by the end of the day. It seems like that, you know, through layering and layering, it seems like you put one down and it's constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the process? I mean, take me through the process of painting one of those.
A lot of times it's just sitting and thinking about it. Sometimes it'll take a month just before I even start putting paint on a canvas, just because I just allow my thoughts to go in one direction. I'll watch videos or look at other artists' work on Instagram and just really just take it all in. And then at one point I realize, okay, I'm ready and I'll just go for it. Because the painting process for me is really short. It takes me anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes just to complete the painting. So
So you don't have to let like layers dry and paint on top of
I
layers.
I can, but and that's what I used to do. But I found that doing it all at once seems to get that blend and let the colors work together and run into each other, and that's also part of the nickname is the mad splatter. So I kind of do it in a mad frenzy. And I need to start videoing it because it's really just a whole lot of energy just dumped into this brief time period to create.
And you could use your, do you have an iPhone?
I have a Android.
Oh, I was going to say you could use the time lapse or like I have the,
I think I have time lapse on my phone.
I don't know if they, I know, the iPhones have them, but I know that you can also get like the, you know, the little Hero GoPro 7, the new GoPro 7 has a great time lapse on it.
Yeah.
That might be fun. You know, it's all about building an audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, well, and the other thing, and as an artist, I would think the big, another big challenge is like, where do I put all my art?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you're pumping out a picture in 15 minutes, you know, you could start pumping out some pictures. I mean,
But that's what I, that's one thing I'm trying to avoid is I don't want to just make 10 of the same thing.
And
and so that's why I do take the time to think about it. And it might seem like it's not that much going into it, but it's behind the scenes and that's the way it goes for me. But you're right. It's trying to find that balance of creating enough where I get it out there. And a lot of my paintings I give to family and friends just say, hey, you know, like, you hold it for me and hang it somewhere just so people can see it.
Yep. I had another artist who, when I first opened the salon, she brought a bunch of art in here. And she was doing me a favor. And in the beginning, she was doing me a favor. I needed some stuff. But 7 years later, I'm like, you know, come on, get this stuff. And she did. And I was grateful because it was beautiful. But, you know, you need to look at something new. And that's the same with these paintings. I mean, I love the paintings. I bought two of them. In fact, I really love the paintings. But we kind of had a lot of mad splatter going on up in here for a few. So now we're going to swap it out. Is that all the kind of paintings you like doing? Is just the splatter paintings?
I've been getting into more contemporary style, working with textures. There's one that I'm particularly proud of that I did too recently, and it's going to a friend of mine. He's actually, just a brief tangent. He's an actor. You may have seen the new show FBI on network television.
I probably saw a preview for it, but
well it's, you know, Law and Order.
Yeah.
It's Dick Wolf's series. It's the new Dick Wolf series. It's like his next thing.
I wonder what that was like when he was in school.
Yeah.
Wolf Dick.
that's a interesting
name. Maybe he went by Richard then.
Yeah. Or Rich or...
Yeah, Wolf Rich.
Richie.
Yeah, Richie. So you're making this for him.
But yeah, and he's the lead actor. He's like, this is a kid that I coached back in my 20s. He rode for the club that I rode for. And it's just so cool to see him develop because... I mean, this is a network show, you know, it's huge. And so anyway, I made him this painting and he said, yeah, man, just let me post it online. Let me show it for you. I said, yeah. And so that alone is reason why I'm happy to just give it to him because of the publicity.
Isn't that funny? It's like art is like that. And just like vlogging, I mean, or podcasting, it's the same way. You know, you paint, you vlog, podcast, and then all of a sudden, the right person hears it, or the right person shares it, and then all of a sudden, boom, it takes off. And then all of a sudden, it becomes like, you know, a value. And it's always been the same painting, but just that when the right person gets it in front of the right people. And so, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and I've come to realize that it just don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just put everything you have into it, and know that someday, you know, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen.
Is what's his name, Pollock?
Yeah, Jackson Pollock.
Is he alive?
No, he died in a car crash back in the 40s, I think, or 50s. He was a notorious alcoholic, and it was a sad story. He was with his girlfriend and her friend, and actually it was the friend who died in the car accident. I know that because I watched the movie Pollock with Ed Harris, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the bad part about art is like it doesn't become worth or valuable until they die.
True. True. But at the same time, art these days is a big market online, and I'm fine with selling my paintings at a reasonable price because I just want it out there, and I want people who maybe can't spend $1,000 on a painting to be able to have something that they want. You know, I don't think anybody is more or less deserving than the next person. So, yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, you gave me a good deal on paintings. I bought two. But I felt like I was trying to help the cause.
Oh, and you have.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was like, here's some money. Give me some paintings. You did, and I love it. But that's not your only job. I think you have a pretty unique, I like your job. Because every time, I think about you a lot. Because now, if I understand, well, explain what your real your other job is.
It's a company called Precision Concrete Cutting. Basically, what we do is we cut trip hazards in sidewalks, so the raised panels that you might have on your property. We'll come take a saw and chop it off, basically.
Well, so. Me and my buddy James, and I think I told you this story, but my buddy James and I always run down Route 1. We run the trail and then come out through the outlets and then down. We head north on Route 1, and there's this, by Kmart, there's this piece of concrete that sticks up. Mm-hmm. And my buddy James tripped over it one day, and he's like you. He's not, I don't think he's 6'8", but he's definitely 6'4", 6'5". Mm-hmm. He's big, and, you know, when you watch a big 6'4", 6'5" guy take a tumble, you're like, and it's like slow motion. I'm like, no, James. Like, boom, right on the ground. And he tripped over about an inch.
Doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much. And so every time I see, like I ran Wednesday or something, and I ran through Rehoboth. And Rehoboth is an old town. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of crazy concrete. Mm-hmm. But you can see where they cut it and shape it and try to keep it because...
That would be us, I think.
Is that you?
Yeah, we do... aside from the repairing and replacing that they do, we do cut to trip hazards in Rehoboth.
Well, and I don't know if people really understand. You know, I think we take for granted, you know, the height of a curb, the height of a step, the step between each step. Mm-hmm. You know, money was spent to study that. We found a good spot. You know, if you go, like, I went to the Dominican, you know, they don't have that standard height of a step or that, you know, whatever it is. So when you start walking upstairs, they're different. You're like, it's not my same gait. You know, it's right. Either bigger or if it's shorter. And it just doesn't go well.
They don't have the codes that we do.
Yeah, the codes.
Yeah.
Secret codes. So, yeah, when you go and like, or when you have an inch of something sticking up, you don't think it's a big deal until, boom, it drops you. Mm-hmm. I turned my ankle on the side of the road where there was a, you know, where they had resurfaced the concrete. There was about an inch, just a little higher than the rest, and my foot just went off the side, and I tumbled down into the ditch like I didn't have any muscles at all. I just go, boom, and just rolled down.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't fall too often, so it's like almost like you forget how to fall because, well, yeah, but...
I don't think you ever know how to fall.
Yeah, especially for me, too, and big guys, it's... Just like oh crap, this could hurt, you know.
Well, I fell last summer off that. Have you ever seen one of those things that it's like a triangle and the back wheels are like skateboard wheels in the back, and then it has one single wheel with the steering wheel? Mm-hmm. I call it the devil's chariot. I was hanging out with my kids and I was just on it. Mm-hmm. I had it all under control, and then the next thing you know, bam, I'm on my back, and I mean slam. I mean, I dropped about a foot, I guess, mm-hmm. in the whole process. 1 foot, but I was wrecked. In fact, I was wrecked for like probably 4 months.
Oh, wow.
my ribs. It was bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, falling is not good. Especially, as, how old are you?
36.
Yeah, so you're 36 the plus the 6'8", so that puts you at about 44 with impact. It's tough getting older.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm trying to lose weight because I don't want to go into my 40s with...
Do you want to try my new program?
Sure. Are you talking diet or exercise?
It's both. Neither.
Oh, okay.
It's called Just Supper.
Just Supper?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And all you can eat is supper.
Huh. I've heard about the benefits of fasting.
So this isn't fasting. This is back to reality.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know...
Well, if you're only eating one meal, you are kind of fasting throughout the day, wouldn't you say?
Well, fasting is for people that eat a lot that decide to stop eating a lot. That's like fasting. But I think, you know, 200 years ago, you know, this is probably more how people ate. I think evolution, we haven't evolved to the amount of food that's at our fingertips now.
Right.
So, sure. You know, back in the day, you would say, oh, my stomach's grumbling. Let me go hunt or gather. And look, I'm not trying to be in like a paleo or something, but I think it's just getting back to what should be. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we have all this food doesn't mean... I had someone tell me the other day that I needed to eat 8 small meals a day. I'm like, what the fuck? Who eats 8 small meals? And when did we become so...
I think it's not a bad idea because you're basically keeping your metabolism fueled throughout the day. And if you get your metabolism to work for you, that's like just a little bit, you know.
Yeah, but that 8 meals a day isn't for you or me, John.
Oh, no. Like I said, if you can.
If you're like a skeleton guy, yeah, you should probably eat 8 small meals, I guess, if that's what you have. The point of the matter is that we don't, there's no humility in our eating style anymore. It's like, oh, my stomach rumbled. Let me go get a sausage, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
You know, oh.
No, I agree.
Pizza. So the Just Supper program, and every person I talk to does try it, mm-hmm. and it does change lives, but... The way it works is you can't eat till 7.
Okay.
You can eat whatever you want after 7 until midnight.
Okay.
And that's it.
It might be tricky to transition to that for me just because I tend to need fuel when I'm out there cutting because it does well, take
then
a lot.
Let your body eat the fuel that you've tucked that you want to lose. So yeah. What, you just want to lose the weight? You don't want to use the weight?
I have actually a lot of muscle, so the weight will... I mean, once I take the fat off, the weight will be harder to take off just because muscle takes a while to break down.
Yeah, we're not trying. I mean, you don't want to lose your muscle.
Some. I mean, I'm 300 pounds, so I want to get down to like 260.
So are you just, do you want to lose muscle weight or do you want to lose fat weight?
I just want to lose weight. And if it means like 20 pounds of fat and, you know, 20 pounds of muscle, then...
Well, so this isn't a weight loss program. It's okay. Not. It isn't. It's a reintroduction to nutrition, understanding why we eat it all. That's what it is.
Okay.
I've been doing it for 10 weeks. I only eat supper.
Okay.
People say, well, what about, can I have a shake? No. Can I have snacks? No. You can't eat until 7.
Okay.
Do it for 1 week. Start understanding, you know, I tell you, when you only have one meal, it's not Taco Bell.
Right.
It's not
calories.
It's not this shit that we eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to make, when we have dinner, you know, it's either some great pork chops, a steak, some great chicken, usually have a vegetable. You start being more interested in what the vegetables or what it is that you're eating has to offer mm-hmm. instead of just eating because that's what they say to do. It's dinner. It's lunch. You know, you want to see how we're supposed to eat? Look at little kids. You know, I have little kids. They never are hungry. And then when they're hungry, boom, they just eat.
Right.
And then they're never hungry. And I'm forcing them, you got to eat, goddammit. Eat this. And then, you know, they eat junk and crap. But they're real, you know, when they're hungry, they are hungry. And when they're not, they're really not.
Right.
But we program each other, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and try it for 1 week. I did it because I was big into running, and I couldn't run because my foot was hurt. So I had to figure out something. Mm-hmm. I'm not going on a diet. I like eating food.
Yeah, likewise.
But I liked eating food. Now I like eating real food. Like I really, you said it, it's fuel. You know, sugar got everybody fat.
Sugar fattens you up more than fat itself.
Right. Yeah. Well, fat doesn't fatten you up. Fat is you know, they make candles out of fat. You know, fat has energy in it. They don't make candles out of Cheerios.
Right.
You know, but we hold the fat, and then, you know, when our leaner times, we use the fat. You know, we eat the fat mm-hmm. off our body.
Right.
Yeah, sugar got us fat, and now they're removing all the good stuff out of food because they think that that's what's going to get us back to being skinny, and it's not the case. You know, if it says fat-free, if you replace the word fat-free with fuel-free, maybe people wouldn't be as excited about getting it. You know, if I wanted to buy fuel-free sour cream, I'd be like, there's no fuel in it? Well, what is it then?
Right.
You know, so trying to understand that, and I think just the realizing how much we eat out of habit, the relationship we have with breakfast and lunch, food is good to break the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, meat, let's meet for lunch, sit there and eat for lunch, mm-hmm. just to chat. I don't know. It's an eye-opening experience. It really opened up my eyes. It's opened up my eyes so much that I tend to share this same topic with so many people. But every person that I share this topic with says, I want to try it.
I'll try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's changed my life. And that doesn't mean, you know, like last night we had burritos, but I had a little bowl of ice cream. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have whatever you want. It's not that you're closing down your calories. You're just closing the window of time that you're eating it in.
Okay.
And I'll send you this video of this guy that talks about how this kind of lifestyle of eating tends to help us build stem cells and help us, keeps us a little more healthier. And like I said, getting back to reality, I think this is how it used to be. When we were, you know, 200 years ago, we just didn't wake up to a nice hot breakfast. You know, if we wanted to eat, we had to go find it mm-hmm. or build it or gather it or shoot it or whatever it is we had to do. But there was some suffering to get to it, and we just don't suffer anymore.
Yeah, and man was meant to travel by foot, really. I mean, before we invented the combustion engine, you know, we were either traveling by horse and buggy. But yeah, I forget where I was going with that.
Can you imagine if today we, you know. I know people are like, oh, my God, I got to go to the grocery store.
I hate the grocery store.
Well, yeah, but can you imagine back, you know, like in Little House on the Prairie days when Paul was like, I'm going to Dover. I'll be back in 4 days with sugar and flour. All right, Paul, bye. You know, Ma stood on the porch with a big long gun, you know, to protect the family while Paul was gone.
Right.
You know, that. And Pa rode on that wagon for 4 days to go to Dover. And now all of a sudden driving to Giant in our car. But the air conditioning has become a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this time in history is really important to pass on the next generation. It's not all about, you know, go, go, go. It's not all about, like, instant gratification, because if you go down that road, then nothing's gonna satisfy you eventually, and you're not going to live life like the way we're meant to live life and go outside and appreciate what we have out there. It's almost like, I mean, there's so many good things about technology, but at the same time, it can also not allow you to be who you really ought to be.
I was watching this thing where they were talking about how, you know, like GMO, where they use, through science, they change, you know, a vegetable or plant or something. You know, they did it with wheat. You know, the apple, that's not how an apple would originally look like, unaffected. It would be much smaller and mm-hmm. a little more, you know, not as shiny and all this stuff. You know, every vegetable, I think, has probably been affected some way through a GMO or whatever. Yeah.
I don't think there's any natural seeds anymore.
No. But, you know, people are, you know, they want to buy vegetables that don't have any GMOs or this stuff. And it's like everything does. But this doctor was talking about how, you know, the direction we're headed in is we're going to start, you know, picking and choosing how we make humans. And, you know, nobody wants to go there, but it's where we're headed. And if you mentioned that to you or me, we'd be like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I like the way that direction. But if you asked my 8-year-old, he'd be like, sweet, you know, you can pick your eye color or you could do this and do that. And so, you know, younger people are more like bright-eyed and excited about changes and new things. Whereas we get older, we start becoming set in our ways and we're like, oh, I can't, I don't think that would be a good idea.
Right.
You know, I always say to my dad, that's why we die, because we just can't take it, you know. The new people have to come and, you know, be wide-eyed for these new ideas. But it's hard to ask people of our age, the older people, about big change because we're pretty comfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our kids are like, oh, my God, how awesome would that be? You know, where we'd be like, you know, especially privacy was a big thing. My dad was, you know, he knew privacy. Privacy was the thread, the fiber, the fabric of how life was back when he was a kid. You know, it was all about privacy and secrecy and spies. And now my generation, you're a little younger than me, but, you know, we knew a little bit of privacy, but we see it going away. It's not a big of a loss to me. I mean, obviously I want my personal, like, you know, Social Security and stuff like that to be private, but I see the change. And my kids will never know the privacy like that my father experienced.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, and everyone gets upset about privacy, but then you get in your car and your phone says, you know, 5 minutes to the salon, traffic is light. And you're like, well, that's nice. I like that. But, you know, that's because they're tracking me and they're tracking everybody else and they know what kind of traffic's out there. So you have to pick and choose, you know, these conveniences that we like, but at the same time, you know, not get all funky because times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm fine with moving on with, you know, growing with the times. I just got to hold on to reality too.
And you mentioned it, you know, I think, as we get older, we start redefining happiness. I know I've had to redefine happiness. My happiness was, and I remember as a kid, my mom would be like, you need to go out there and make those big bucks. So I thought that was happiness. And, you know, you chase that shit and it's like, the more money you make, the more problems you have. And I had to start just saying, hey, I'm just grateful to be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I have my health. The other day I was coming to work. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming to work at my salon, which is just amazing. I have my own office, which we'll do the podcast in. I have everything. I got flowers out front. The salon's in an amazing community, and I still don't want to go to work. It's, hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Let me just take this. All right, sorry. I had to answer the phone. My father-in-law was calling. We're going fishing.
That's cool. I love fishing.
But yeah, so I had to kind of change my definition of what happiness is. And when I started doing that, I started, you know, being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting so much on. But I guess, you know, you have to go give it the big college try in the beginning, and then you figure out what you're good at.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to make your career work for you. And if you're eventually, you know, I mean, right now I'm not doing what I want to do, but it's a means to get to where I want to go.
What do you want to do?
I'd like to be a full-time artist because I realize that with the little time that I have, I'm not being as creative as I want to be. I could,
what do you have to do? I guess to be a full-time artist, you got to sell stuff.
Yep. My next step is to get a website developed, and
well, just make a website.
Yeah, I know. I've been.
So you're not the guy that has all the dreams and all the things you have to do, but aren't doing them because
some of those aren't. No, it's. I've had a lot of physical ailments, and I'm just overcoming them, and I'm really seeing everything start to click. And
I built that Wix. Wix.com, I built a website for $223 that has online sales and everything on it. I can sell my stuff, and it's great. So you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it, and yeah. I'm not even a computer guy.
Right. No, yeah.
Get that site going. Get that stuff out there.
I really have no excuse at this point. I don't.
We just call your ass out on the goddamn podcast. Let's go, John.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes you just need something to light your fire.
Well, and, you know, my buddy Matt, I remember I used to talk to him. I'd be like, I fucking hate working at that damn salon because I was working at this other salon. And he's like, either open a salon or shut the fuck up. But I'm tired of listening to you to, you know, bellyache about it. And he was right. I like to talk about the idea, but to actually do it was really scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was safe at that salon. I was, you know, someone else carried the weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it. You know, he put me in touch with a bank, and Community Bank, of course, which was the only bank that would give me a loan for the salon, always be indebted to them. And, you know, it happened. But, you know, it took someone to kick me through the door. So Well, I'm not going to kick you.
No, but it's important to have motivators in your life.
Well, and I think if you start putting your work in front of a lot of people, you start finding that you're hearing the good and the bad, you know, and I think it helps kind of, whether it shapes us or at least kind of, you know, because if you just do this one thing the whole time and no one really looks at it, you never get any feedback.
Right.
And, you know, I know that when some of the paintings that you did, the initial paintings that you did, you were using like a spray paint. And then I think you started kind of exploring other paints, right? Mm-hmm. Acrylics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always important to try new mediums.
Yeah, and I loved it. That was the thing, because you know, it's almost now another dimension. It's raised. It's got textures. It's
yeah,
got
that's
lift.
Exactly right. That's what I was saying earlier. I've been working with textures, and like the last one of the last ones I did, I went to AC Moore and I bought these square stones,
mm-hmm.
and I mixed them inside of the paint, which I also dumped a lot of sand in. So that it's really cool. I mean, I wish I had it with me, but it's up in. I'm a member of Bellefonte Arts, up in Bellefonte near Wilmington, and that's some of the new ones I put up there. But yeah, I'm trying to go into more of like a simple, you know, allow the canvas to just really present itself instead of just a lot of paint. So textures, it's, I guess, more contemporary.
Well, and that was also why I was at, because the painting that you did for me, I liked how, like, it looked like you had gone through with, like, a white and then let that dry and then come back and then done it a blue on top of it. So I had, like, blue on top of white, which I thought was really cool. And it wasn't, like, blending in. It was, like, on top,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was, you know. For me, I was like, oh, look at that. Oh, I like that, you know.
Well, they actually were done all together. But since they're thicker and, with the spray paint, it all just blends together. But there is more of a separation with the acrylics and the white was actually a house paint. But
John, is his name John Pollock?
Jackson
Pollock, sorry. Yeah. I look at his work and I go, you know, because that guy, that painting, or one of those paintings always reminds me of the guy from Metallica, Lars Ulrich, who was a big Pollock investor. He bought a lot of his art and sold one for like $5 million, this big one. Has a cat or something on it, like that, has that funny face on there.
Okay.
But I would look at it, I'm like, I don't, and first thing I thought is, I think I could paint that.
You just got to do it.
Yeah, but I couldn't, you know. There is a real skill to what he's doing. There's a real skill to what you're doing, but it's one of those kind. It's like when you hear, I always say, great bands are the bands that when you sing along with, you sound like you could be part of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes a band for me great, because then I love them. I'm part of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an artist I think is great when I feel like, oh my God, I could probably do that. So then it pulls in my interest. Maybe it pulls in my ego or something that makes me get a little more invested into it, but. It's the stuff that I go, well, I can never do that. So, you know, like those old...
Yeah, the stuff that you, like, blows your mind.
Yeah.
Then that's, you appreciate that
more. Some of that old, the real old art, you know, like the kings and the queens and stuff, that is some just... Do you like it? I mean, could you paint like that?
No.
Yeah.
No. And nowadays they have these, I think it's photorealism or whatever it is, but... Some artists can just make something look like it's alive. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah. I posted a thing on my Facebook page. It was like a 15-year-old girl did a pencil picture of like this old... She looked maybe an Indian, not Native American, maybe an Indian from India, but mm-hmm. just all the wrinkles in her and her eyes were kind of squinted shut. And it was just... It looked so real that you knew that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the detail of the wrinkles. It was, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy with these. I mean, I love art. I'm not a painter, but I love art.
Yeah,
music.
I think there's an artist in everyone. It's just a matter of do you want to tap into it? Do you want to see what you can do?
Can you make a living?
Well, yeah, but even if you just want it as a hobby, I think it's a great outlet for anyone. You know, and art is subjective. I mean, being a good cook, I think, is art. You know, it's just exercising that muscle, and if you don't, then it's kind of a waste, because I think, you know, because there's a lot of people who say, I'm not artistic, I can't do it, but that's just them lying to themselves in a way, I think.
So you were, I'm going to change the subject for just a sec. So you, and I see your jacket. Rowing. So you were a rower?
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, I would think, for some reason, I would think you'd be too big for rowing.
No. Well, I was a lot skinnier when I rowed. Yeah. I was.
And can I just say, you don't look fat, John. So.
No, I'm just saying, like, I was in high school, I was 190 pounds. So that's over 100 pounds ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Same height. So. But that's the shape you want to be is lean, and it's actually more advantageous to be tall because you know you have a bigger stroke and you move more water.
Yeah.
So some of the bigger rowing schools like Harvard or Yale, they recruit just these a boat of just dudes who are like over 6 feet. And can just send that boat down the river. So
it's always funny how like Harvard or Yale like have rowing, you know, where like Penn State's football or something. You know, it's like each college has its like niche.
Mm-hmm.
And but the rowing, I mean, I tried a rowing machine. I mean, that is some serious. I guess if you want to lose some weight, you can either try the Just Upper program or you can go back to rowing because the rowing will work you out.
Well, yeah, and I do plan on going back. It's just what. Injuries that I've overcoming, but
did you hurt a leg, an arm?
Well,
bang your head.
Recently, I hurt my knee, but a lot of it is neck pain and shoulders, and I'm sure the rowing didn't help.
Mm-mm.
But at the same time, I think one thing that it was a mistake is when I all throughout high school I rowed on one side of the boat, so I overdeveloped. My one side because it was
couldn't they I would think that would be something they would swap you
they should have yeah and in hindsight that would have been better but I also was adamant about staying on one side so
oh you were
yeah but I didn't want to learn the opposite way of rowing I don't know well forget where I was
you
going
were
with this.
You were stubborn, and it's paying you. It's paying you back now.
Yeah. So I'm lining up. I'm getting things back the way they should be.
Isn't it weird how we kind of don't pay attention to our body or you know our health until you know a certain point? I mean, I know. I mean, I've been trying to run for a while. And 99 is when I finally decided to quit smoking and. 97, I quit drinking, and then I didn't really care as much about my body. I started running, but running just allowed me to eat like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting my foot and screwing up my running now has really made me address how I eat at all. I know I'm a sugar addict, big time. I've been in denial of that. Do you struggle with sugar?
You know, it's interesting because, yeah, but at the same time, this past Lent, I gave up sugar. And I just kind of kept it up, like 40 days of not having sugar. And now I don't eat sometimes I would get candy bars just to fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that anymore. And I'm noticing a lot of my water weight just going away. And
do you drink a lot of water?
Not as much as I should.
You should get one of those. My wife bought me a Yeti.
Oh, speaking of which, I wanted to congratulate you on getting married.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. This is the one. This is the all the practice put aside. This is the one.
Right on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But she bought me, and that's fun. You know, that, it's kind of funny because when she goes, you want me to buy you a Yeti? It's like, I don't need no Yeti. I drink enough water. Well, she bought me one. And I swear, I just keep that thing full of ice water all the time. And I drink it constantly. And I really was not drinking enough water, so I have to tell
my
hat
to her. Is that like a metal can?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's an aluminum can or aluminum cup. I don't know why Yetis are the best, and
there is
a difference between the Yeti and others because
sure.
I have a Yeti, and then my kids are all, we want Yetis, and I go, well, I'll buy you a Fetty, a fake Yeti,
right.
And you know the ice melts and it's not as good, so. But yeah, the Yeti, and then she bought me one with the lid and the straw, and I love it. I mean, I take that thing everywhere. In fact, I have one here. I have them everywhere now because I love water, and I wasn't realizing it how much I was not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, if
when it's hot out in summertime when I'm working, I'll drink like 10 bottles of water throughout the day, and I found that sometimes water is just not enough. So I'll get a vitamin water and mix it with the water because I need something like electrolytes because you're losing all of it. And
I mean, are you sweating? I guess if you're sawing, you're probably
a lot, man. Sweating.
Yeah,
so
that's
much.
Pretty physical. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, and plus you got all the headgear on and gloves and. You know, I'm wearing pants. I can't do it in shorts.
How do you end up? Is that one of those jobs you just ended up in, or are you just?
Well, it's a franchise company out of Utah, and my brother-in-law left his job and wanted to do something on his own, and he just did a ton of research and he found this company, and so started the wheels, and so now he owns the franchise for Delaware and Maryland, which didn't exist before, so he got that going, and I just started day one with him. So I've been cutting for 8 years, and it's taking its toll on me too. That's another thing, is just like it doesn't help the healing process. I'm trying to heal.
Well, is it automated, or I mean, you're not actually sliding the saw back and forth, are you? Or is it? I would think it would be like on motors, like polishing marble or something, where it's
a
automated.
Handsaw. Yeah, I have to control it myself.
You do.
Yep.
As in, how many blades do you guys go through?
Depends. If it's sometimes it'll be a blade a day. Sometimes blades will last 3 or 4 days. It depends on what the concrete is, because there's all kinds of different soft concrete, hard concrete.
Well, there's it's funny. I all that sidewalk that they built along from like Kmart all the way down to like the Wawa. You know, that didn't used to be sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
They finally put all sidewalk in, but people rode their bike through it, they walked through it. There's like, I was running with James, I go, look, that one day that's going to be a fossil of a human.
Mm-hmm.
We found a bikosaurus, because someone rode their 10-speed down the sidewalk and it wasn't even cured yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like now all the concrete's changing colors, I guess, from the salt. I don't know if it's junky concrete, but it just doesn't look like the it's going to last very long. Where you find that concrete down in Rehoboth, and it's like, it's got pebbles in it, and it's like old school concrete.
Yeah,
like
it's been there for 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, and you can see where they cut it, and it's like it's cut through like the concrete and old rocks, and it's like, it's never going away.
No.
But it looks like they're going to be replacing that concrete along Route 1 soon.
Yeah, they probably are.
Did you notice they're planting flower? Have you been down here?
Not too often, maybe once every couple months.
So there's the grassy the grassy medians that separate the highway down Route 1. So they're putting I thought they were putting flowers. I wrote on my Facebook, I'm like, oh, I love the flowers they're planting down Route 1. And this guy goes, oh, so the hummingbirds and bees and butterflies can get killed by the cars. I was like, Jesus. No, I just thought it'd be nice for some flowers. But now it turns out it looks like they're planting beach grass. But I thought it was great. It's a nice thing. And this guy just goes off.
Sounds miserable.
I should take you over there and straighten him out.
I usually I'll just stand somewhere and that's enough. I don't.
You like the mountain? Do you watch Game of Thrones?
A little bit, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So a little bit, like, have you been watching it this season?
Yeah, I actually have.
What do you think?
Well, since I haven't really watched all the other seasons, I don't know too many of the backstories. But some of my friends are complaining that it's more mainstream now. It's not as in depth as the first 4 seasons or whatever.
Seven.
Well, no, I'm saying like my one friend in particular, he's like, yeah, first 4 seasons was great, and then 6 and 7 just got worse, and now 8 is like...
Well, and I agree, because you even nailed it, because I felt like season 5 is where it got...
Changed.
Well, I just felt like the budget changed, because you used to watch a show, and there'd be, giant groups of people, and then all of a sudden, on season 5, they'd be going through the desert, and they'd come across 2 people in a tent. You're like, and they'd have to fight them. I'm like, well, where's the rest of the people? It just seemed like it was in a weird place. And the story, and just like this season, you know, this a lot of this two-on-two talking or one-on-one talking, and it's like the episode, this past episode was kind of boring. The episode before that, the long night or whatever, yeah, when they fight the dead, that was awesome. But it was shot in such a dark...
I think I think that was supposed to really give you a sense of being there and be like, oh shit, this is not normal, because it's not a normal army, and he did create different weather.
No, and I agree, but the problem was is that when, you know, there's a cadence for me when I watch something, you know, I can, you know, there was, you know, there'd be the part where like the girl, she walked the horse off into the dark, and then, you know, where you would kind of see what's going on, it kind of carries the scene. But on that night, it just, she went in the dark, and then we all sat there. You know, even the people on the horse were looking at one another like, what? Where'd she go? And it was just like a second or two too long. You're like, well, what's going on? It just felt uncomfortable. So, yeah, I'm sure. And someone released photos or the video or scenes from that episode lit up. Like, mm-hmm, brought back up to a normal light, and mm-hmm, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
it was good. I think there's another Game of Thrones series, something spinoff that's supposed to start after this.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
Yeah,
I mean, to you, I would say start at season one and enjoy, because you're lucky. Not everybody gets that opportunity to start watching Game of Thrones from the very beginning with not having seen it.
Right.
I mean, I've watched it twice. All the way through, and it was. I actually had to watch it the second time because I didn't understand any of the first time. Like, I can't. I still struggle with the names,
mm-hmm,
Cersei and Sensei, and.
Well, they just dump you in there, you know.
Yeah, I can't even. I don't even know what the blonde haired dragon girl. I forget. I always forget her name.
Daenerys. Yeah.
Targaryen.
Yeah. Who's actually Jon Snow's aunt?
And I thought it was his sister.
Well, at least I guess it's better that it's his aunt.
Yeah, I guess you can still...
Not by much.
Can you still get with that?
They were okay with it, you know, and I don't... They made a mention of it in the last episode. They said, you know, Targaryens would do that.
Well, so, and if I'm... So, if he's a Targaryen, if they're related, so he's fireproof.
That's a good question. But her brother wasn't.
He did not do well with gold pouring over his head.
I do remember that scene.
I'm not sure that would work for many people. But yeah, I don't know what that was about. But there was a scene on
He was a dick.
He was a dick. He deserved that gold hat. But there was a scene in the other night, not this past, but the episode prior to that one, where Jon Snow like ducks behind this rock and that like, you know,
yeah, fire,
the blue fire dragon. Mm-hmm. He just blew all that fire. I mean, I would think any other guy would have, you know, at least got singed. So he seemed like he was a little.
They probably won't go into that though. I mean, at this point, well, there's only like two or three episodes left.
I think there's three episodes left.
There's six total this year. You could be right.
No, I'm not. I actually just guessed that. I'm not even sure.
Six or seven.
Well, and then after that one night with the big fight, I was like, oh my God, they beat him. Oh my God. That was it. And then I forgot that Cersei had, you know, still not.
She didn't lose taken anybody. A knee for she the... was just waiting for it to end. So.
And then when that dragon got shot, that makes me mad.
It was just like, whoa, all of a sudden.
Yeah, because we were just kind of excited he was back.
That seemed pretty easy.
Yeah, right through his neck.
But they hid and were ready for him.
Yeah, they were. It was a shocker. So you and I are going to go hang paintings. I appreciate you doing the podcast. I know you didn't know we were going to do this. I was like, let's do a podcast. So
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's something I like doing. You know, it's kind of one of those things like painting. You know, you do one, you're like, I'm never going to be any good at this. But you just keep doing it. And I like chatting and talking and stuff, so... Thank you, and hopefully we'll start, you know, getting a little audience and have you back, and we'll talk about more painting and
absolutely
more projects, and maybe by the next time we have you on, you'll have a website.
Yes.
GoDaddy. Go on to GoDaddy and get yourself a name.
Yeah. I get on that.
John, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day, man, and I'm going to take your picture because I always forget.
You did take my picture.
I know, but I want one with you smiling. All right, brother. Have a great day, bud.
Thanks, man. You too.
Bye.